Now, as we are running a little bit over time, I think it might be best if we just hand our speakers over to you for questions. If there is something that you'd like to address specifically from the summary, please do so in response to one of the questions. So can I ask... Oh, we've got a question at the back.
Thank you. My name's Desley Healy. I'm a nurse. Lynn, I was really pleased to hear you talk about nurse practitioners. Nicola, what I'd like to ask you is, what is the Labor Party's policy on opening up the PBS, particularly the PBS, but also the MBS, to allow nurse practitioners to work as a nurse practitioner in Australia?
Thank you. Look, we have been having some discussions with a number of people, particularly the association representing practice nurse practitioners. And it's easy to make that mistake, isn't it? Don't say practice nurses at the same time. We are generally very supportive. We acknowledge that this is one of the ways that we can potentially deal with a range of workforce issues, as well as recognising the skill that those nurses in particular have. It seems to me that it is something that requires some long-term negotiation, and I have to say I was impressed in a range of meetings I've had with different people in different states that they don't necessarily see this as something that should be immediately proposed today. I probably put it in the category of needing to work through a range of other professional issues first before we would say, yes, we're going to open up the PBS or MBS to it. And I mean, I can see around this room there are a large number of people, the midwives, the physios, a range of others, all of whom would like access to either the MBS or the PBS. And I regard it as something that it would be foolish for us to try to do on the run from opposition. I think there are some significant changes that are needed to the way we structure the MBS and to the way professionals are able to claim under it. For example, I think that the new chronic disease items are giving people for the first time access to a range of other allied health professionals, but it's an enormously complex way to do it. It doesn't necessarily have fair or equitable outcomes, but it is a step which is meaning a lot of people have access. So I think that once we have flagged, as we have, that we want to review the MBS in terms of dealing with preventative healthcare, it would make sense to actually include a range of those things there. But we are very well disposed towards the claims of nurse practitioners, and I must say in particular also to midwives, where I think there has been a strong case that's been made out.
Got a question from Tim Woodcroft over here.
Thanks, Karen. Thank you for those talks and for filling us in on where you are both headed. The recent figures on the Medicare safety net showed that in the richest electorates in Australia, about $60 per voter is spent through the Medicare safety net every year. Whereas if you go to, for example, the electorate of Fowler in, I think, northwestern Sydney, it's only $10. Now, I'd be interested to know what your opinions are, firstly, on the Medicare safety net, but more importantly, what I'd like to bring this to is the what we heard about this morning, that this is partly indicative of the fact that our Medicare and PBS funding is distributed in Australia to providers and not according to need. And what we're hearing today is that we're going to improve the MBS schedule, that's from the Labor Party anyway, rather than to address the fundamental problem which results throughout Australia in gross inequities in significant health funding.
Sure. I think I assume that's directed towards me, but Lynn, you may want to comment as well. Look, I think that what you have hit on the head is an issue that is really difficult, it seems, for the professional organisations to talk about as well, which is we need to work out, if we're going to have Medicare as the underpinning of our system, which I make my unapologetic view that I think we should, then we need to actually ensure that we can get the people that deliver Medicare services more equitably distributed around the country. Now, I think that the safety net figures do show a dramatic difference, but actually 3 or 4 years in, they still show in electorates like mine, which is actually relatively poor, although it's fairly close into town, a big take-up with a lot of people who are under pressure for a whole lot of the financial reasons we've flagged who are getting benefits from it. So I'm not sure that the starting point should be taking away something that's aimed to actually relieve pressure when you actually need, I think, to be looking at how do you bolster services in other areas and how do you get professionals who have the MBS access and others into different communities. And I think much more can be done and should be done at the Commonwealth level. I mean, the states we've seen starting to pick up, you know, and being much more creative about how can we have people, particularly specialists, you know, working 2 days a week at a hospital and 3 days a week in one of our super clinics or GP Plus clinics or Health One clinics, they're all called something different in different states. And I guess tie in with John Menadue's sort of proposal about the 200 primary care settings around the country. I actually think that's a much more constructive debate to be having, because if we try to change all of the things at the start that have been put in by this government to patch up problems of their own making, I think we actually end up making people suffer more when we should be bolstering some of the other services, lifting up some of the other services rather than taking some of those things away. But I'm going to get asked a lot of questions where I'm going to say to you, you'll see more of this in the coming weeks and months in the lead up to the election. It's a little bit of a frustration sometimes.
No sneak previews?
you can certainly have some sneak previews of directions and other things, but obviously there's some that we will announce closer to the date. And our strategies for how we do that are going to be really focused on how we get services to communities that are missing out. And I have to say that's probably one of the few things I disagreed with Lynn on. I think that it's not an obsession to want services in your local community. It is an obsession if you expect that major heart surgery is going to be done at your local butcher shop, but it's not an obsession to want basic services and even visiting specialists and others much closer to home. And I don't think Lynn was probably suggesting that you not do that.
We have Tony McBride.
The reason that safety nets were introduced was because the co-payments were growing at such a terrific rate, and they've continued to grow. So the issue is with bulk billing and the lack of access to bulk billing for many people, and the enormous cost of that doctors are charging, particularly specialists. That's where most of it is. I think we need a proper review of the safety net procedures. Probably time that the Productivity Commission or the Audit Office or one of those did a good study on it, because I'm not across the latest developments. So I think we need a review. Just on that point, I'm strongly in favour of primary care being as close as possible to where people need it. And I understand you talked earlier today about 200 primary healthcare clinics being introduced around the country. Strongly support that too. We have a few in Victoria, not enough, but a few. And the mental health inquiry that I chaired made a very strong recommendation of 350, I think it was, primary mental health clinics around the country, based on populations of people that would be around 50 or 60,000 who would have access. So I'm very much in favour of those. So in terms of safety net, I think it's as Nicola says, it was a patch-up solution to the problem, and it hasn't fixed the co-payment issue.
Tony McBride, we'll have then Lady in the Orange, and then we've got Fiona Armstrong, and we've got Gordon flapping his arms around over here. If I take that question, that means that we get our cup of tea and come back in here at afternoon tea time. Are we willing to do that?
We don't want to be in that position, especially if there's muffins.
Well, there are muffins, and I think you may have won. Please, Tony.
I'd certainly welcome your commitments, both of you, to more focus on prevention. That was one of the issues that came out when we did a consultation with consumers in the lead-up to this summit. And I also welcome Lynn, you know, your party's commitment to a national dialogue. And I really wanted to ask Nicola, in terms of what policy do you or will you have around involving consumers around, you know, inputting into the big questions in health, into sort of, you know, priorities, values and so on, in the way that Lynn was suggesting?
Look, I think it's a very attractive idea and an important thing to do, and I have been frustrated again as a newer person in the portfolio when I first, after about the first month when you have the sort of rush of meetings with, you know, particularly a range of stakeholders and academics and others, I came back to my office one day and said to my staff, everybody in the last month has talked to me about the health system, and no one has talked to me about the people that are in it, the people that we're supporting or servicing, or the people working in it. You know, how have we made the system so complex that everyone wants to talk about it, not what it should deliver? And I have a very strong view that we shouldn't talk about fixing the system or reforming the system unless it is to deliver some benefit to patients that they want and need. So I'm interested in the idea. I'm not generally keen on sort of announcing that we're going to consult with people in 40 different areas, because I think a good government should consult with people, and it should be an ordinary part of their business rather than something that requires us to have a special initiative. It may be in health, and I can see the arguments for it, that it hasn't happened for such a long time that a more nationwide engagement is required, and I'm certainly happy to have an open mind about it.
Lady down here. Hello, I'm Anne McKenzie from the Health Consumers Council of Western Australia, and I was interested when you said, Lynn, about mobile patients or patients that were able to move to where the services are. Could you just make a comment about the patients' assisted travel scheme, which is very relevant to people, particularly in Western Australia?
Well, as it happens, we're doing an inquiry into the patient assisted travel scheme right now, a Senate inquiry, which is enlightening, I have to say. I don't think we realise how difficult it is for people in remote areas in particular to transport themselves to services and to be supported when they're there. The miserable amount of money which is provided for accommodation, I think it's something like $19 a night. You know, it would be impossible to find even a tent, I think, for the money which is provided. So I think we've got a long way to go. And this comes to Stephen's argument too about the future being a lot of people with an illness which will keep them coming in for treatment on a regular basis for the rest of their lives and perhaps decades. So it could end up being quite an expensive way to deal with it, but it's still a lot cheaper than having those people in acute care, and we need, I think, to facilitate their journey there, to use Stephen's words, in this way. So yes, I hope there'll be a good outcome. I think there'll be strong recommendations from this inquiry, and we hope the government responds, or the next one responds.
I was going to say that inquiry was set up with our full support. In fact, a number of senators and Lynn have been driving that. A number of our senators and Lynn have been driving that for some time. It is another one of those blame game areas too, where there is a lot of and there were negotiations in the past over who should take responsibility for it, and I think this inquiry is going to uncover whether that's worked or not, and I imagine it's going to be another one of those issues that will be on the table, where we have to have serious negotiations about whether the states have been able to deliver adequate care in those circumstances or adequate support for the transport in those circumstances. So it's a big issue. Mm. Not just in remote areas. I was in Cooma today, which is not really that far, and you know it's an issue for them.
Fiona Armstrong.
Fiona Armstrong from the Australian Nursing Federation. just a couple of comments, really. Both of you, I would echo Tony's comments that we welcome your energy and enthusiasm for the health portfolio and Labor's commitment to preventive strategies and health promotion. Nicola, your desire to inject an increased demonstration of efficiency and effectiveness in relation to the Australian healthcare agreements. We also welcome the intention of the AOP to include out-of-hospital care in those agreements, care that would no doubt be delivered in the greater part by nurses and allied health professionals, which we would of course support. However, I'd like to take issue, Nicola, with your assertion recommendation that health reform advocates have an obligation to make issues of access and better management of chronic illnesses sexy when there are strong health and human rights justifications for reform. I think you know there's already a strong business case for reform. ACRA has demonstrated that, and John Menadue and the Centre for Policy Development. And the issue that he's raised, and we would concur that what is lacking is political courage and political leadership to drive what are evidence-based proposals. And so I would just urge you to take notice of the reform proposals that come out of the Australian Healthcare Reform Alliance, and urge you and the AOP to seize that opportunity to demonstrate political leadership.
Yes, thank you, and it's a challenge that I hope I'm going to have. It's certainly something I intend to be showing over the coming months, let alone if we are elected. But I think, maybe sexy is a clumsy word for some of you, but I think that all of you, or a very large number of you, having looked at the list of attendees here, have been involved in debates about reform and policy reform forever. And there are many, many very worthy, absolutely credible, well worked out, well costed proposals that never go anywhere if they don't get momentum. And that momentum, certainly you should expect courage and leadership from us, but that momentum has to come from within the community and the stakeholders as well, particularly in health, where there are so many stakeholders who oppose change of any type. So I actually think this is something where we have responsibilities of leadership, and I'm quite happy to take in that criticism that you'd like to see more of it, but I don't think you should for a moment dream that having a well thought out, good idea, worthy policy costed means it will happen. That isn't how, you know, my observations in the last 10 years of which policies get up is it works at all, and I wouldn't like to see good policies lost because of a lack of awareness. Not that you, I'm sure many of you are, that we have to turn some of these things into being a little framed around issues that the community want to engage in and demand, and that's what will help drive the change. And respond to leadership when it's shown. So it ends up being a symbiotic relationship, really.
That's true, and as does the case for citizen engagement, because we think that that's one of the things that will come out of a true citizen engagement process is a building of momentum. So that's another reason that we'd encourage you to support that. Lucky last, Gordon Renouf.
Gordon Renouf from Choice. Tony asked my first question, which was on citizen engagement, and I'd just like to echo Karen's last statement, which is that obviously one of the reasons that we're mostly pretty keen on that, some form of citizen engagement, is the fact that it does is seen as a way to shift the debate and perhaps did so in Canada. But the question I had, Nicola, for you is to applaud your ongoing recognition of obesity as an important problem in Australia and to wonder if the ALP is close to a position in relation to one of the... you know what I'm going to ask you, don't you?
We have so many good things that I can't quite tell you yet. I don't, but I
finish the question for the rest of the audience. One, but not the only challenging response to obesity, of course, is to tackle the marketing of unhealthy food, particularly to children. I was wondering whether... I know some in your party are very keen that you take a policy to the electorate on this particular matter, and I wonder what your views are.
Sure. Yes, I'm only laughing because there are lots of things that we've engaged with many of you on, and you've given us many ideas, some of which you'll see announced in the coming weeks and months. But we have made very clear that we have a fundamentally different view to the government on advertising. We do think that there is a role for the government to play in helping to minimise some of the damaging messages that children do get constantly about unhealthy foods. We took to the last election a commitment to ban food and drink advertising in kids' TV time, and there is currently an industry review which is going on about those industry standards. But I have to say, I am uncomfortable with a position which limits itself to free-to-air TV and restricted a narrow period of time on TV which is notionally called kids' TV time, because I don't think it is addressing what is now the real world experience of many kids. They don't just watch in kids' TV time, they watch pay TV, they watch things on the internet, they get marketing messages through the SMS. And the policies that I'm interested in will be ones that will cover all forms of media. And I think, as I've said publicly before, that a sensible place to start putting some attention first up is to look at the marketing which is very clearly directed towards children, which is the kids' toys and giveaways with food and drink products. I put myself through the experiment when I did the shopping a couple of weeks ago to just write down every product that I could see that had a cartoon character on it. So this is not even the toys, this is just using licensed characters. Shrek can sell everything apparently from yogurt to chocolate to cheese crackers to any range of things, some obviously healthier than others. But I think it's very hard to argue that that is about promoting a food product. It's about trying to get your kids to pester your parents, or the kids to pester the parents about buying food. And I think if we can do anything which helps reduce some of that PESTA power so that parents who are trying to make healthy choices for the kids get supported. You'll see us in that space. Well, Lynn and Nicola, just very briefly.
I think it's important as well that we start educating parents with a labelling system that works for them. So the so-called traffic light system with red, amber and green just allows parents at a glance to see what should be bought and what shouldn't, and I would extend that beyond the supermarket to the takeaway food sector so that we get a real shift in education about what's good to eat and what's not, and make the message very clear to manufacturers and promoters that it's not acceptable to sell these goods to children in the way they do.
Lynn and Nicola, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you sharing your party's positions with us as far as you're able today. It's very much appreciated. Our communique will be coming out tomorrow, and we'd very strongly encourage you to have a look at our communique and the finalisation of your election positions. Now, everybody, if you could just go and grab your cup of tea and bit of cake and come straight back again, I'll hand back to Cathy, and then we'll have our panel discussion. Thank you all.